listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we've been doing 7 weeks of these divisional previews, and we've been pointing to this week the whole time. So the last week we're going to do is the AFC West because, man, it's exciting. There's so many good things to talk about, so many interesting things to talk about. No offense to the other seven, but this thing is loaded. Kansas City on top. They have been so for years. 4 times they have gone to the AFC title game. They've gone to 2 Super Bowls, winning one. Alex Gold joins us from 610 Sports, host of Cody and Gold, to talk about the Chiefs in 2022. On a Progressive guest line, Progressive Insurance, bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. How are you, Alex? Good to have you, my man.
Hey, what's going on, Tony? I know, man. It's good to have football back in everybody's lives at this point. We are almost there.
Yeah, and especially in this division. When we talked about Buffalo earlier this month, we talked about a team that we get it with the NFL. Sometimes you can have everything working for you. You still find your way losing on the losing end of a one-game playoff. But is there something to learn? And when we talked about the Bills, there were a few. I'm going to ask the same question about Kansas City. They're up 21-3. They look like they're cruising. But then they don't score another touchdown in the second half of that game against the Bengals. But what did they learn about them? And what did they do anything about that particular loss in looking at 2022?
That second half has been this great mystery. You know, the second half performance from Patrick Mahomes, the worst half of football in his career, it stunned everybody for honestly, months, and still at this point, nobody knows the definitive answer, truly, of what was going on. I mean, even in the overtime period where the first two passes go to the team's number 4 wide receiver, DeMarcus Robinson, not Kelce, not Hill, not Mecole Hardman. And so this great mystery has happened. What do they learn from it? I think we're going to find out if it's going to work, but it's been clear. They're going to spread the football around more. I know Tyreek Hill's absence, of course, leaves an explosive gap in this offense, and that's the big question that everybody has. But we've seen 6 or 7 different receivers in the few drives that Patrick Mahomes played this preseason. We've seen them spread the ball around to 6 or 7 different receivers, and that's going to be kind of their thought process this year, not relying as much on just 2 guys and feeling better about their 3, 4, or 5 wide receivers than they did a year ago. So, for example, week 1 of the season, it might be Juju Smith-Schuster leading this team in receptions and yardage. And then week 3, it could be Sky Moore, the rookie. And week 6, it could be MVS. So I think we're going to see a balanced attack, not necessarily that they're running the ball more, but a balanced attack in terms of which wide receivers could actually be the guy that particular day.
Take us back to the Tyreek Hill situation. And just sort of, I know numbers can get a little boring, but I think overall, I think there's a strategic element to this. What was the process in what Tyreek Hill was looking for, what the Chiefs weren't willing to do, and what they ended up getting for him?
Look, the Chiefs wanted him back. I mean, any notion that they did not want him back is false. They absolutely wanted him back. They were prepared to give him a contract reportedly of about $27, $28 million on average per year. Then all of a sudden, Devontae Adams gets what he got, which was right around that number, if not more, with the Las Vegas Raiders. And Tyreek Hill and his team decided to bump the number up to $30 million per year, and that was simply a number the Chiefs were not willing to do. And as soon as that report Monday morning came out that they were willing to trade him, as we all know, an hour and a half later, or less than that, he was all of a sudden a member of the Miami Dolphins. So it happened so quickly. And I think it's pretty simple. They sent a message: if your name is not Patrick Mahomes, we're not going to pay you the very top at your position. We saw that play out this offseason as well with Orlando Brown Jr., their starting left tackle. They weren't willing to make him the highest paid left tackle in football, and so he's going to play on the tag this year, and we'll see what happens next offseason. But I think it was a shift business-wise for them as they kind of step back a little bit and make sure that they can extend, in their mind, a new window versus being all in as much as the Bills, who haven't won anything yet with Josh Allen, or obviously the Raiders, or that matter, the Denver Broncos. So it was definitely a change in mindset, and this offseason has been just interesting to see how quickly, because of some of the comments from Tyreek Hill on his podcast, how quickly things have turned in terms of how everybody views him in Kansas City.
And 111 catches is not just going to be replaced, but as you mentioned, Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. So what do you think the offense looks like? You said earlier about spreading it around a little bit, but again, statistically, you can't just replace it simply with one guy. I don't think you can replace a value with 2, but how do you get the offense clicking like it did without Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, you know, look, last year they struggled. In particular, the first game really was that Bills Sunday night game. where Buffalo came into Kansas City and blew them out. And that was the first glimpse of kind of some of the serious problems offensively until they figured it out to a point where they still finished, respectably, to say the least, offensively a season ago, where teams were dropping back guys in coverage. They were rushing three, and that was an adjustment that Mahomes really struggled with. And part of it was him. Part of it was also they didn't have guys other than Tyreek and Travis Kelce that could get any separation just in terms of route running. I mean, there were plays where you're just like, where are you supposed to throw the football to? Having a full offseason of Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and then they bring back Matt Nagy as well into this offense, still have Eric Bieniemy in terms of the coaching side, and finding some guys that are a little bit different style receiver than what they've had. I mean, if you look at Juju and MVS, these are, other than maybe when they had Sammy Watkins, these are bigger-bodied receivers that are better at blocking as well. And I know that may sound weird, like, okay, why does that matter so much? But I think it could help them in the screen game a little bit, can help them in the red zone as well, where that they have multiple guys that can go up and high point a football. You know, Tyreek Hill was very good at that. Despite his size, Tyreek Hill was incredible at high pointing the football. But Juju Smith-Schuster, MVS, their backup tight end, Jody Fortson, who got a couple touchdowns last year before tearing his Achilles, is someone that I think is going to end up being a pretty significant red zone threat for them. It's going to look way different, guys. It's going to look way different. You're not going to replace the explosive nature of Tyreek Hill, that 15-yard pass that he all of a sudden can turn into 65 yards for a touchdown. That is gone. That's gone from this offense. But I still think statistically, when we fast forward to week 18 and they're playing their 17th game of the year, I do believe we're going to look at the numbers and say, wow, I don't know how they got here. It looked way different. Maybe it wasn't quite as exciting. But I do believe the numbers will be similar, because under Andy Reid, the worst this offense, even with Alex Smith, ever has been in Kansas City is the 11th best offense in football. And they still have Patrick Mahomes. So I think it's still a top 10, top 8 offense in football when the season ends.
I remember in golf when Tiger Woods, early in his career, was winning things, and then he went and changed his swing because he could anticipate what he was needing down the road. In a way, has Patrick Mahomes done any of that? Is he still exactly the same player, or has he looked and trying to play chess with NFL teams going, I know you're going to try to do this, I'm going to add some things to my game, or I'm going to eliminate some things in my game and get better at this or that to try to stay relevant for a long time in this league?
You know, there was a great piece from Kevin Clark of The Ringer, who during Chiefs training camp had a chance to sit down with Mahomes, and he talked about some of the adjustments, and it was some of the things that even Dan Orlovsky had pointed out in the regular season, where he's like, hey, there's some things with footwork and otherwise that you really can't fix until the off season. Like, you can make some tweaks in season, but you got to really wait till the off season to fix it. That perhaps could help you in terms of the coverages that you are seeing, and willingness to take the underneath routes, but also to help you with how you can get the ball out in a better way. And I think that's something that time will tell if that actually did anything here in the regular season early on. But that would be the only thing mechanically is a little bit. There are some small, really intricate tweaks that most people probably won't necessarily notice. But there's one thing about Patrick Mahomes is anytime you start to have people question him, and even if it's not directly him, but it's more about the offense and even stupid stuff like last night, the NFL Network Top 100, which doesn't mean anything at all, but he was 8th. It sounds small. That's something that he's going to notice. We know after he got drafted and Mitchell Trubisky was ahead of him, when they played the Bears, he's counting on his fingers after he gets a touchdown how many guys were drafted before him. He knows exactly what's being said, and I think, you know, we've talked about this in KC. It's kind of this idea that the first few weeks, there's a message that they will be trying to send to the rest of the league, and it's kind of the scorched earth Patrick Mahomes mentality that gets brought up here, kind of a reminder while everybody's talking about Russell Wilson and the Broncos or the Buffalo Bills, and not even saying they shouldn't be talking about them. It's something that he definitely recognizes, and I fully expect quite the statement in the first week or two of this.
Well, let's get to the defense. Lost in the 21-3 lead, I should say, is the defense didn't exactly protect that either. So the offense didn't score, but the defense didn't help. But overall, how did the defense play in 2021? Are they going to get better at least getting and sacking the quarterback this year?
Yeah, the defense is where more of the concern, I think, should absolutely be than this offense. You hit on it, that second half of that game. There were multiple stretches last season. The first 5 weeks, they were on a historically bad pace. They could not get after the quarterback whatsoever. It was abysmal. Now, they ended up, when the dust settled, I think they were 17th or 18th in points per game, which, honestly, if they finished, 15th or so this year, that probably isn't the worst thing. I think roster-wise, heading into the season, they're actually on the defensive line better than a year ago, right? They still have Chris Jones. We'll see about Frank Clark. I'm not buying the rejuvenation angle to him. He's going to have to prove it to me after only 4.5 sacks a year ago. But last year to start the season, they didn't have Melvin Ingram, and then they added him in the middle of the year, and that's where we all of a sudden saw this defense switch. Well, this year there's no Melvin Ingram, but they went out and signed Carlos Dunlap, who is an 8.5 sack guy a year ago. He's nursing an Achilles right now, which is definitely concerning. But if he's available, I think on the defensive line, along with the rookie George Karlaftis, who's looked very good here in preseason, I think they could be better on this defensive line. The real question defensively is that secondary. So young in the secondary, they lose Tyrann Mathieu, they lose Charvarius Ward out to the Niners, and they draft with their first pick, a guy they trade up for is Trent McDuffie. He's going to be their number two corner, but they I won't say he's been disappointing, but he definitely hasn't flashed yet in the preseason the way maybe a guy like Marcus Peters did a couple years ago, where he ended up being the defensive rookie of the year. It's nowhere near that type of impact in his rookie season. And then they bring in Justin Reed from Houston, who is a veteran, but still he's even acknowledged as the most complicated defense he has seen. So I think the first couple weeks of the season defensively, especially in the secondary, could be quite the adventure early on.
Alex Gold, 610 Sports, host of Cody and Gold in Kansas City on the Chiefs. Alex, I'm going to ask you the big picture question here, and I kind of like doing these at the end where I just get a larger picture about fan bases, cities, the organization as a whole. For my whole life, up until recently, my whole life, the Chiefs were always a kind of a hard luck team, right? A team that would sometimes be good, and you'd go, hey, and then they'd get to the playoffs and nothing would happen, or they would be good or just miss out. This has now changed. This is Super Bowl or nothing. That's it. What's it been like over the last 4 years where it has totally shifted from, can we do something good, to we better win it all, or that's it?
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. It really is. It's amazing where things have shifted, and it's all because of Patrick Mahomes, right? I mean, yes, you can go back to even when Andy Reid took over, and clearly there was already a shift right there with Alex Smith. They had some very, very good years. Not ever enough to go and win a Super Bowl with a quarterback like Alex Smith, but that was really the turning point, and then Mahomes just put them over the edge. And yes, every year that you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid together, and we don't know how many more years you'll see Reid with Mahomes, you've got to take advantage of that. And the mindset here absolutely is Super Bowl or bust. Now, I say that, and based off our conversations that we've been having here in the last couple of minutes with you, is, this year, if you told me that the Chiefs won the division and they got to a fifth straight AFC title game and lost, as disappointing as that would be, considering how they took an approach this offseason, which let Tyreek Hill go, I don't think people would be going crazy and all bent out of shape here in KC, because they've got a ridiculous amount of cap space heading into next season.
Yeah.
And 10 or 12 picks. And so the thought is here, like, if without Tyreek Hill, if Mahomes in this offense with a very young defense can get back even to an AFC title game, that, man, look out for the next couple of years after that, where they're in a better spot than the Bills financially and some of these other teams. So it's Super Bowl or bust, but in a weird way, this year you could probably sell a lot of fans on a deep playoff run that doesn't end in a Super Bowl trip.
Love that perspective, because that's half the battle in this league, right? It's one thing to take advantage, to say there's a window. It's another to try to keep the window as open as long as you possibly can.
That's exactly, and I think, with the Tyreek Hill approach and Orlando Brown Jr., their left tackle, that's exactly kind of their thought. We'll find out if it actually works, but their thought is that we'll zig when everybody else is zagging, and perhaps that in 2 years when Buffalo's dealing with Von Miller's contract at age 36 or whatever the heck it will be at that point in time, perhaps they'll be in a much better spot. So that's definitely something that's been discussed here in Kansas City, and of course, we'll find out throughout the next year or so if that actually was the right approach.
Love talking to you, my friend. Hope to get you on throughout the season. We know we will, because the Chiefs will do something and we'll be calling you up. So.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Great to be on with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex Gold, again, 610, our good friend out in Kansas City, as we continue. Well, final thoughts on the Chiefs as we wrap up the hour on Wake Up Call.